Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the Gospel of Luke, widows make a frequent appearance, and Jesus always lifts them up as an example of faithful living. For example, we get the widow who gives her penny compared to this Pharisee who gives a little bit out of his abundance. She says, great is her faithfulness. And in this, he uses a widow as an example of what it means for us to pray persistently. Now, Jesus doesn't start off like all sort of happy-go-lucky. He tells us right out of the gate that there was an unjust judge. An unjust judge. Now, if the judge knew God, had respect for people, he would have known that in Deuteronomy chapter 18, the work of a just judge is to execute justice for widows and orphans. And he refuses to do that. He has no fear of God, no respect of people. I mean, at least he admitted it. He was kind of upfront. Like, I want to know if people don't have respect for others, I guess. He's an unjust man in a place of power. Can you think of people like that in your life or in the systems of the world? Perhaps. On Thursday night, one person started laughing because he was thinking of the officials from last Sunday's Lions game. How about how they were not just? Like, well, weird thing to laugh at, but that's okay. This widow comes to him, comes to this judge again and again and again. In Greek, the verb tense here means a continual action. So she's not just coming up and confronting him like one and done. Like, well, that's... I did my best. I'm going to be done now. I'm going to go home. She is coming, and she is becoming a pest for him. She is coming like every day, maybe several times a day, because she knows that his job is to execute justice for her, and she is not going to quit until she gets it. And finally, he gives in, not because he wants to, not because his heart has been changed, but because he's just tired of her showing up in front of him every day. We are called to be that persistent as we pray. Now, I don't know about you and how you function in your life, but when I was married, I was always the one that like negotiated everything, like big like car purchases, new refrigerators, like whatever, because honestly, my ex-husband would have offered to pay more than they were asking. He's a wonderful man, but a horrible negotiator. So I'd go in, never afraid to call for the manager. One day, middle of the summer, I was about 6 months pregnant with Sam. That's an important detail as I get going. 6 months pregnant with Sam, and my dad calls me, and he says, Heather, I want to get your mom a computer. Can you help me? I'm like, absolutely, Dad. He said, we're going to come down in 2 weeks. I'm like, okay. Can we have it by then? Like, absolutely. So I go to Best Buy and I buy this computer and I know my mom is going to love it. They come down, we open it up, we turn it on, and it does not boot up. So I'm like, okay, I will go back to Best Buy at Southland Mall and we'll figure it out. So I take my 6 month pregnant in 85 degree heat self back up to Best Buy. They fix it. They show me that it boots up. I'm like, yes. So I go back home, and my mom is so excited to get her computer booted up. It turns on. The keyboard doesn't work. I pack it up. I take my six-month pregnant self in 85-degree heat back up to Southland. I see the same technician this time. I said, the keyboard doesn't work. She's like, oh, we'll fix that. There's something that's not connected. Okay. So they fix it, and they bring it back out. They show me all the keys work. Perfect. I go back home. By this time, my mom is so excited for this computer. She's like a dog watching for my kids to come home from school. She's like, can I have it? Can I? We boot it up. It turns on. She moves. She starts typing. It's perfect. Then she accidentally bumps it. The keyboard falls off. The keyboard fell off. By this point, my mom and Ted and my dad were like, we'll take it back. You don't have to go back up to Southland for the third time. Oh, no. At this point, it's a matter of pride. I'm going back. So again, I put my six-month pregnant self in the car, and I go really fast back up to Southland because now I'm just furious. I walk in, and I see the same technician that waited on me before, just 2 hours before. And she looked at me, and I just said, I want to talk to your manager now. She didn't even try and talk me down. She's like, absolutely. You know, the truth is that if, and finally, they had forgotten to put the screws back into the keyboard somehow. I don't know. But they fixed it. They even shook the laptop upside down, proved that it worked. My mom was very pleased, and I didn't have to go back. But I will tell you, friends, that if it didn't work when I got back home, I would have kept going back to Southland Mall, Best Buy, until I was in labor and couldn't walk. Jesus calls us to be that persistent in our praying, in our fighting against the systems of injustice in this world. Now, to be clear, we are all going to have different opinions about what injustice is. That's the beautiful part of living in this world. What I think is not just, somebody else thinks it's perfectly just, and vice versa. And what I've realized is that that's okay, because I do not have all of the answers. My opinion is not always correct, as hard of a pill as that is to swallow sometimes. But I believe that if we are all persistently fighting against that which is unjust in our lives, we're going to end up like this. It's going to be a collaborative effort because God wants to give us all the good things. God wants just world. God wants an end to war. And we have been praying as humanity for an end to war since we began fighting each other. I don't know why God hasn't answered that particular prayer. I know that people are weary of sending their sons and daughters and uncles and aunts and moms and dads off to fight. All I know is that it is not God's time yet. And yet we continue to confront. We continue to pray. And what I realize, and I've been preaching on this passage for 20 years now, what I realize for the first time this week is that the widow wasn't just sitting in church and praying. She wasn't just waking up in the morning and praying when she went to bed, and praying over meals. She was using her whole body to pray. It's one thing to pray here. That's a good and powerful thing. But the widow kept physically going back, engaging that which she did not see as just in her life. What if we did that? Whatever that looks like, political activism or working at a homeless shelter or working at ChristNet this fall, we are called not just to pray with our voices and our hearts and our minds, but with our entire body. Hebrews tells us that faith without works is dead. That is not to say that we have to work our way into heaven, because God has given us that free gift. God has given us grace. We respond to that by praying with our whole body, by putting our hearts into those things that we see that are broken, trusting that somebody else is doing the same thing, and we may cancel each other out, but God's will is for us to follow our hearts as God has directed them. God will not direct any of us in a way that we shouldn't go, no matter who we are or what we believe. We're all in this together, praying persistently. So this week, how will we pray with our bodies? Where will our feet take us? What will our hands do to show the world that we believe in a loving God? Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, keep us persistent as we confront all the systems in the world that break our heart. Be with us, God. Show us how to use our body as a prayer to you so that your will can come into this world. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.